celebrating this very special 7th of May. And I figured, what else better to talk about on a day of celebration, a day of party? We've got all the sombreros and the ponchos. Marco Polo is dressed for the occasion. What else, what better to talk about than celebrating in Christ tonight? Are you guys with me tonight? There's so much we can celebrate in the world. 4th of July, Cinco de Mayo, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, all the holidays, birthdays, Mother's Day coming up on Sunday. Don't forget to call your mom, please. Don't buy her a toaster or a can opener, by the way. I've learned this from experience. Just telling you, okay? No toasters, no can openers. We have all these different occasions that we can celebrate, but a lot of times we neglect the things that we ought to celebrate the most in. And tonight, I want to talk about celebrating in Christ. Are you guys with me tonight? All right, let's just dive right into this. I got a couple quick points. I'm going to move a little quickly tonight so that way we can get on to the night's festivities as well as the other things that we have going on. You know, when it comes to celebrating, Christ is ultimately the reason to celebrate. How many of you guys have heard during Christmas, he's the reason for the season, right? During Easter, the resurrection. Listen, we are going to celebrate in Christ. I really want you guys to get excited. I really want you guys to open up your heart. Because I think that if you take these points, and I'm going to give you a couple words after each point, or a word after each point. If you're taking notes, just write it down, because I want this point to coincide with this word of thought, okay? So as we get into this, I really want you to take it down, listen up, and I really believe that if you apply these, if you understand this, if you take this to your life, I really think that your life will be more full of joy, that you'll have more reason to celebrate as the days go by, as things hit you, as the world comes against you, you'll have a reason to have a smile on your face, because why are we celebrating? We're celebrating in Christ, okay? You guys with me tonight? All right, listen, number one, let me get my notes to the right page. We can celebrate Christ tonight. If you're taking notes, this would be point number one. The tomb is empty. All right, come on, let me get a couple hallelujahs over here. Come on, guys. The tomb is empty. We can celebrate Christ because he died for us and then he rose again. You know, there's so many different things out there in the world that come up and say that they're the true religion or they're the true way to live. There's Buddhism, there's Sikhism, there's Hinduism, there's Islam, there's Hare Krishna, there's, you know, all the different religions of the world. There's universalism, Christian Science, everything that goes on. But let me tell you something, guys. You with me? You listening? All of the leaders, all of the founders of all of those other religions are still in the ground. Are you with me tonight? Yeah. Jesus Christ came to this world, taught us a message about how to love, how to live our lives, gave us an example, and then on top of the example of his message, of his lifestyle, of his word, he comes and he lays his life down as a sacrifice to us. In that, while we were still sinners, the Bible says, while we were still spitting in his face at the, you know, at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, they were shouting, kill him, crucify him. Pontius Pilate brings out a murderer, Barabbas, and says, listen, I don't want to kill this guy. Who do you want to let go? This murderer, thief, killer? Or do you want this guy who says he's the Messiah? I mean, come on, really? And they're like, crucify him, let us give us Barabbas. Jesus came while we were spitting in his face. In that, while we were still sinners, the Bible says, Christ died for us. But we don't want to just stop there. Just like when we watched the passing of Christ a couple weeks ago for Easter. You know, we were watching and experiencing the hardships that Christ experienced for us with his love through us. But then at the end, the crucial moment at the end of that movie, it's only about 4 minutes of the ending of the movie, but it's the most important part, guys. What is it? It's when that stone rolls away, right? You know what I'm talking about in the movie? You guys have seen it? The light starts to shine in. And then the sackcloth that Jesus was buried in disappears. And then all of a sudden you see Jesus without all the scars. He's fresh. He's clean. But he has the nails in his hand. He gets up and he rose from the dead. He walks around. He preaches and he witnesses to those around him. And then he ascends to heaven. Buddha in the ground, Muhammad in the ground, all of those people who started the other religions, who told you this is the way that you ought to live life, this is the way that you ought to do things, they're still in the ground. But we can celebrate in Christ tonight. Why? Because he and he alone rose from the dead. Are you guys with me tonight? Turn in your Bible to Acts, the second chapter. I went too far. Acts, the second chapter. I'm going to read to you guys verse number 22 and through 24, but 24 will be up on the overhead. This is Peter's sermon. This is right after the day of Pentecost had come and people started speaking in different languages. They were all over the place and they started going out. And here Peter's delivering a message about Jesus Christ. He says, men of Israel, hear these words. This is verse 22. It's not on the overhead, but we'll get there. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth. Where did my notes just go? Jesus of Nazareth, a man arrested by God to you, attested to God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Verse 23, him being delivered by the foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death. Now he's saying, you know, here's Jesus. He came, he attested all of God's glory, he attested all of God's message, and here we are. We took him through lawless hands and we crucified him. The guy came to love us and we put him to death. Verse number 24, this is up on the overheads. Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held with it. Verse number 24 says, it was not possible. Jesus came knowing that, one, it was impossible for him to be held by the chains of death. We can live our lives knowing that as children of God, as followers of Christ, the death that comes in this world, the death through our spiritual lives, the death as our friends come, the death through our emotions. You know, guys, because we go through death all the time. It may not just be a physical death. Are you with me? Right? There's death. There's days where you feel dead. You know, your emotions are dead. You're sad. You're down. You're depressed. There's days when you feel like your money's dead. There's days when you feel like, you know, your friends around you are dead. Nobody cares about you, right? That's also death. That's emotional death. It was not possible for Jesus to be held down by the chains of death. We can celebrate in Jesus Christ knowing that it was impossible for death to hold him down. Guys, it is impossible for death to hold us down if we are in Jesus Christ. Are you with me tonight? All right. Hey, my notes came back. Where'd they come from? Would they go all the way into the stage? All right. I was going to go without them anyways, but it's cool. Listen, number two, we can celebrate in Jesus Christ because we are a new creation. I'm sorry. Let me go back because I told you I was going to give you a word. So next to the tomb is empty, I want you to write the word, if you're taking notes, truth, because Christianity is the truth. That's why Jesus rose from the dead. Buddha, Muhammad, everybody else, they're still in the grave. But Jesus rose from the dead. He is now sitting at the throne of grace on the right hand of the Father in heaven. That attests to the truth of Christianity, okay? So if you're taking notes, write down truth. Sorry, I should have got that earlier. Number two, we are a new creation in Christ. If you're taking notes, write the words redemption next to it. We are redeemed. How many of you guys know that this world is what it is? We are dirty. We are dirty in ourselves, right? We have our things that we want to go. Our flesh does what it wants to do, right? It's our sin nature. Why do you think that the things of this world are so bad? I mean, the days, you know, I always hear the people that are older than me, my parents, you know, some of my older friends, the people that work in the video department that are in their 40s, 50s, you know, they would always say like, man, in my day, you would never see something like this, right? Even in our day. I mean, when I went to high school, when I was in junior high, the shorts that we wore or the shorts that the girls wore were like, you know, mid-thigh, right? Now it's like belts and, you know, the girls are wearing t-shirts as, you know, the whole outfit. Things are changing. The sin nature. Yeah, okay. The sin nature is taking over. That's why this world is going the way it is. That's the way it is. You know, when Adam and Eve came and they partook of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that sin nature came and took over, right? That's why we as humans, regardless of who it is, our flesh tells us that we want things, right? We look at girls, oh man, you know, sometimes, or the girls look at guys, oh man, look at him, look at that six pack, you know, or, you know, we lust over things, or we have false idols in our mind. We watch TV more than we do anything, or we idolize people on, you know, on the TV or music stars or movie stars, because that's our sin nature. That's our flesh longing for something, right? And because of the fall of man, all the way back to Adam and Eve, that flesh longs for the things of this world. But we can celebrate in Christ because we are a new creation. If you guys will turn with me in your Bible to 2 Corinthians. I don't hear very many pages turn. I know the wind's blowing it, but come on, turn your pages. 2 Corinthians, 5th chapter. Verse number 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, let me tell you something. Jesus came and he died for us, right? He laid his sacrifice on the cross. The Bible says that our sins were washed white as snow, right? But let me tell you something. Jesus didn't stop at washing our sins white as snow. The Bible says here that, yes, we were forgiven, we were cleansed, but now, if we are in Christ, if we live after Christ, if we celebrate in Christ, guess what, guys? Not only are we washed white as snow, but let me tell you something. We are a new creation. No longer are the things of our flesh, the worldly desires of our flesh, applicable to our life, because in Jesus Christ, if we are there, we can celebrate in knowing that Jesus says that we are a new creation if we are in Him. Are you with me tonight? This is cause for celebration. You know, we are not of this world, but in it. Right. Yeah, okay, I made sure I said that right. Usually, we are not in this world, but of it. Wait, now I'm lost. I had it right the first time. Okay. We as Christians live. Listen, our flesh still takes over. How many of you go? How many of you guys know that we are not perfect? Is anybody in here perfect? If you're... No. If anybody of you need says you're perfect, we'll pray for you afterwards. But listen, you know that our flesh is not perfect, right? We mess up. I mess up. On a daily basis. I love it. Pastor Dan was talking about messing up, and he was open and honest with the church, and he was like, you know, I mess up on a daily basis. I mess up on an hourly basis. We mess up sometimes on a minutely basis, right? Secondly basis. How many of you guys know that sometimes we think those thoughts or we do those things, and we're, no, in the name of Jesus, boom, it comes back again. Oh, no, I did it again, right? Our flesh is still our flesh. But let me tell you something. Our soul, our body in Christ, our lives have been made new creations. Yes, the flesh is still there. It's still here, right? We're still here. But our soul has been renewed in Christ. It has been made a new creation. And when those things of the flesh come up against us, when those things of the flesh rise up and we see those things that we ought not be thinking about, or we mess up, like we all do, we can take pride and celebrate in the fact that Christ came, He died for us, and He made us a new creation. Are you guys with me tonight? All right, number three. If you're taking notes, God's grace is sufficient. And if you're writing notes down, I want you to write the word power down. Now, this is what I was talking about earlier today, as far as me living the message that I'm preaching tonight. Because, you know, we had a big couple of days. You know, I work at the church. I run the television department here. I work normal hours, 8 to 5 o'clock p.m. You know, my wife does a second business venture right after work on certain nights of the week. Just so happens last night was one of those nights. So I got here at 5 o'clock, or I got here at 8 o'clock, got off work at 5 o'clock. How many of you guys know there was like 170 cows on the freeway yesterday, right? Okay, there's a ton of cows. If you guys didn't know, there was a ton of cows on the freeway. I like how Ron L. said the traffic was not moving. So right after work, we go and do this business venture. This business venture goes till like 9, 10 o'clock. Well, some of you guys know that we had Iron Man. Some of us from shift met up and went to go see Iron Man. So right from the business venture, I drove to the Kokori movie theater to wait in line to see a movie at midnight. I did not get home until 2:30 at night. Didn't get to bed until 3 o'clock at night. Then I had to be back here at work today. Then we get here and we realize, oh my gosh, we have to set all of this up. And I know when you come here, it's like, oh yeah, cool, it's here. Shift is there. You know, there's volleyball net and, you know, there's a stage and there's speakers. And man, me, Joey, and Richard, us three, Kyle came a little later. We started setting up at like 1 o'clock and we did not stop. It was like hot. We're sweating. All our shirts were off. Not shirts, like this, the overshirt, I should say, not our undershirts. You know, I'm trying not to sweat in the clothes I'm going to preach in, you know, so I don't have all these, you know, sweat stains and stuff like that. I mean, we were working hard. Then we get up here and then it's like, oh man, I'm the video department. I got to get a screen out here. You know, before when Dan preached, I did the screen because I wasn't preaching. So now I'm preaching. I got to get the screen. I got to get the projector. We got to set up Nacho Libre. Then, I'm playing in the band too. Oh, so like, I mean, everybody's like, I'm playing in the band. People are coming up to me. Hey, man, what do we do about this? They're coming up to me while I'm trying to practice. Hey, man, the screen's not working. Pastor David comes up to me, you know, talking like, oh, I'm so proud of you, blah, blah, blah. Everybody's coming up to me. You know, Stacy's coming up to me like, oh, man, the elote that we're cooking for after service is not ready yet. Everybody's going crazy. And I am like, freaking out, right? Okay, I'm talking like, this is seriously like 45 minutes ago. No, nay. This was like, what time is it? 39 minutes ago, okay? I'm like freaking out. I'm back there praying like, oh God, thank you for this message today because I know that your grace is sufficient for me. I'm tired. I am tired. Will I do a Thursday night premiere the night before I preach and shift again? Probably not. But listen, I know that even though my body is tired, even though I had a lot to do today, even though that the weekend for church with everybody in the video department was, I'm still over, was asking me questions about this and this project and this project, and I got to get this and this and this, and we got to do this video on top of me, Joey, and Richard setting up today. I know that God's grace is sufficient in my weakness. I get up here right now. That's right. Come on. I'll break for a clap. I get up here now. My body is tired. But I know that God's in control, and I'm more energized now than I was 39 minutes ago, because now I feel the power of God. The grace is sufficient in my life. If you guys would turn just a couple more pages into your Bible to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. The wind may have even blown your pages that way. No, the wind would have blown your pages the other way. It's blowing my pages that way. So unless you're not facing me, the wind didn't blow your pages that way. Yeah, that was a little random, huh? Wait, no, yeah, okay. Never mind. 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 9 through 10. Let me get there. And he said, now, let me give you a little prelude to this. I know that some of us, it's a familiar verse, especially John Bevere was here. Dan preached about grace as well. You know, here Paul is talking about, it, in the Bible, we call it the thorn in the flesh. Paul's talking about how he's got something that's like poking him, it's bugging him. How many of you guys have had like the shirt? Okay, the tag in the back, you know, all day long. It's like poking you. Oh, you know, oh. Paul has got a nasty shirt tag that's bugging him on a greater sense. And he keeps asking God to remove this thorn in the flesh, this irritation. And he says, three times he prayed, three times the thing came and buffeted him, right? And so all of a sudden, here comes God's answer to him. In the Bible, the wind totally just changed my page. All right, turn to the book of Ephesians. No, I'm just kidding. 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse number 9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, in my strength is made perfect. No, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'm going to read verse number 10. I'm not sure if it's up there. Therefore, I take pleasure in the infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, if you go back to verse number 9, I have it highlighted, I believe. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Now, guys, we're talking about celebrating in Christ tonight, right? If you're reading in your Bible, what color are those words? That's Jesus Christ talking to Paul. We can celebrate in Christ because in our weaknesses, his strength is revealed. In my tiredness and my sleepiness and my overwhelmed emotions for the night, Christ steps in my life tonight on this pulpit right now in front of you, and he takes my weaknesses and he makes them strong. Are you with me tonight? Paul says in verse number 10 that I can rejoice in infirmities. I can rejoice in persecutions. I can rejoice in reproaches. Because in that I know now I'm suffering weaknesses. And in my weaknesses, that gives Christ the opportunity to come in and show off his power. Are you with me tonight? So we ought to rejoice on those low times in our life. Why? Because that gives God the greatest opportunity to lift us back up. Are you with me tonight? We are celebrating in Christ. Our flesh, like I said in the point before, it's still here. Even though we are a new creation, our body is our soul is made new, we have renewed vision, we are washed by the blood of Christ, our flesh is still here, right? Our weaknesses, our ignorance, you know, our trials and our tribulations, we come and we stumble on an hourly, minutely, secondly, whatever base. We mess up. But then God comes in and he says, listen to me, guys. In your weakness, I get to boast. I get to show off how strong I am, how much I love you, because in your weakness, I show my strength. My grace is sufficient enough to cover you. Are you with me tonight? We have cause to celebrate for Jesus Christ. Number 4, final point for the night. We can celebrate in Christ because we have direct access to God. And if you're writing notes down, I want you to write the word royalty down. Now, let me tell you something, guys. In the old days, before Jesus Christ came, preached his message, got chastised and crucified on the cross, there was an old and a new covenant. That's why you have an Old Testament and a New Testament. That's the break in the covenants, right? Before the days of Jesus Christ, God had representatives on the earth through the prophets and the priests, okay? Moses, Joshua, you know, Aaron before him, the Levites, you know, okay, you got guys like King David, right? King David, right? The prophet comes to tell him what God has to say about him, right? They didn't have the direct access to God. The layperson didn't have that direct access to God because the representatives of God, the priests, the prophets, they were the representatives to God. Now all of a sudden, Jesus Christ comes. He lays his life down. He changes the foundations of the world. And now all of a sudden, we, average Joe, you and me, Gentiles, not Hebrew, not anything like that, not even of the blood religion or whatever, the promised people, the Gentiles, we now have a direct access to God Almighty. Are you with me tonight? It was so steep in the old days that the prophets, the high priest, would come in to deliver a sacrifice to the place. They called it the Holy of Holies, all right? It was this one place in the tabernacle or in the temple that only the high priest could go. And they would tie a rope around the dude's ankle. Because if he came into the Holy of Holies in the presence of God before sin, this is no joke. If he came into the presence of God with sin in his life to offer up a sacrifice, boom, God would strike him down. And he had a rope around his foot so that if dude died, somebody could, because they can't go in there. That's how sacred that place was. They couldn't go in to retrieve him, so they had a rope around the guy's foot. So if he died, they could pull him out and retrieve his body. That's how serious this was. Now Christ comes and he says, listen, you have open access to God through me. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but by me. Listen, in Christ we can celebrate that the God who once was the God on the throne, who once was God Almighty, you know, just, oh, you know, the God that we fear, and we still should fear him. But now God is the loving Father that we can come to. We can feel his presence anywhere, not just the Holy of Holies, not just the Most High. We can feel his presence at work. We can feel his presence in the car. We can feel his presence at church. Because Jesus came, he opened the door for us, you and me, average Joes, not even worthy of it, to come and get face to face with God Almighty, the one who loves us. Are you guys with me tonight? I mean, this is like mind blowing. So if you wrote down that word royalty, we are heirs with him. If you'll turn in your Bible to Romans, the 8th chapter, just a couple pages back. Now for you, the wind may have blown it that way. For me, it didn't. Romans, the 8th chapter, verse number 16 and 17. That's the 9th chapter. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Here we come. Here we say, listen, how do you know you're saved? The Spirit himself bears witness that when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, you are now what? A child of God. We are what? Children of God, right? We are what? Children of God. Verse number 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Do you guys realize the magnitude of what this verse is saying? Here we are, average Joe, right? Going our own way. Living our own thing, not deserving God in the least bit. And if we accept Christ, if we live in Christ, like this message is saying, we celebrate in Christ, we are what? Children of God. What are children of God? Heirs in Christ. We are heirs with Christ. We are right there. God has said, listen, now I want to open up the gates of heaven. I want to bless you. I want to wrap my arms around you, fill you with my presence, fill you with my spirit, give you direct access to me. Are you guys with me tonight? I mean, this is huge, 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 huge. James says that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all to all liberally and without reproach. The Bible says that we ought to ask, we ought to seek, and we ought to knock because God wants us to do so. We, as the children of God, you and me, sinners, messed up people, we have now become redeemed. We are now new creations. And in so, we are the heirs of Christ. We have direct access to God. This is awesome, right? This is awesome. I don't know if you guys are getting this, but I'm like fired up the fact that I can go at home on my way to work, or, you know, on my way home from work, and I can start to pray and I can feel the presence of God in my car. right? Not just the Holy of Holies anymore. I can feel the presence of God right here while somebody is preaching. You can feel the presence of God right here while the music is being played. You can feel the presence of God while you're pushing a lawnmower in the back seat. You can feel the presence of God writing an email. Why? Because now, as children of God, we are heirs and we have direct access to our Father God. Tonight, we got to celebrate in Jesus Christ. You know, we come, we have a good time in Cinco de Mayo. That was Wednesday. We have a good time on Siete de Mayo. That's Friday. But we ought to come and we ought to celebrate Christ, not just on special days. We don't need to come and celebrate Christ just on Friday nights. We don't need to come and celebrate Christ just on Wednesdays, Sunday nights, Sunday mornings, Saturday mornings, Thursday mornings at girlfriends. We don't need to come and celebrate Christ at just the small groups of the Bible studies that we may go to. We need to come and we need to celebrate Christ every day of our lives. Are you with me tonight? In review, Christ died and rose again. Reasons to celebrate. Jesus rose. He's not in the grave. We don't have to wonder if this is the true religion, if this is the real path to heaven, because Jesus is the only one who came and rose from the dead. Are you with me tonight? Number two, we are a new creation. He came, he spilled his blood, he died for us, and in so we have been made new. All that flesh, all that stuff behind us, over the world may be going to hell in a handbasket on a slick pole. We are a new creation headed for heaven tonight. Are you with me? Number three, God's grace is sufficient. It covers my life. It covers me in multitudes. When I am weak, when you are sick, when you are infirmities, when you are persecuted, when you're feeling down, when you're feeling lonely, God's grace steps in and he says, listen, that's when I'm made strong. This is reason to celebrate. Number four, we have a direct access to God, our Father. Did you guys get anything out of that message tonight? If he spoke to you, give him praise.